verify ethnicity?
Looks like Arab gentleman.
It's
to
him.
Me.
I
would guess he's huge.
Do not engage.
Oh fuck! He's looking right at me. He's looking right at me now.
Shit! Get out of there!
I'm sure you can appreciate that. I don't want to get into the way you manage your affairs or your operations, but you need to stand down from Siegemont and do not go in hard into that place.
Khan looks up at you. You were already in when I got the phone call. Go, Paul. Go!
Who was the other woman on the phone? And who is the white lady? Lady.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
Hallway smells of bleach, faint tobacco smell, maybe piss. Alright, gear check. Check for noise. The close to 8-9 soldiers jump up and down, checking how their gear sounds, securing item there with clangs. Personal items secured. Khan looks at you all. What do you touch, Paul? What items do you secure?
I have most of my things under my vest at this point. I touch the cross on the chain inside, sending a quick thought to the Lord to watch over me and keep me safe for the sake of my family.
Francis.
Honestly, the whole situation is getting rather out of control. I don't like things being out of control. But at the end of the day, I'm not the commander here, so all I can do is observe and do my best to assist Richards and Khan, whatever I'm told to do.
What kind of other plans have you put into place for this? There was any special gear that you've already instructed the team to carry or use, or tactics or goals and so on that have been pre-discussed before the briefing? Of course, there's going to be time for you to interject.
Yeah, I think at this point there's not much room for discussion. There is incendiary ammunition in the rifles. This one we have already aimed to get once, and that was with the purpose of putting him down and bringing him in. But at this point, there's too many casualties already forming up. Leeds, how is the progress?
Still think, yeah. Yeah, I still have a visual. We're in the car on the I-72 thing. And yeah, we have him by street light.
Good. He's a suspect of arson and killing a police officer. He needs to be brought down if we can't bring him in.
Engage on opportunity.
Affirmative.
Stay on him. Alright, we need to stay quiet here. Something tells me this bugger has a good sense of hearing. Alright, switch to throat mics.
Good.
Leeds disappears in the noise of frenzied preparation.
I've got my automatic rifle, 9mm pistol, extra clips with normal rounds. Flashbang grenades. Battering ram is in the team, not me. But yeah, we're under Khan's direct command this time. It feels good. He feels focused.
Only his slightly forced, calm breathing betrays any nervousness in him. His body taut, he looks around, he looks at Francis, Any special preparations you want to put into place?
Well, I would have... My notes would have been the same as they were for the previous engagement we attempted to have. Possible UV lighting, if able to gather it together quickly anyway. Again, the incendiary ammo.
Type C torches, or if we have two of them.
Excellent, excellent. The ammo has been improved by Richard. Very good. And, well, naturally I'll be hanging at the back, ready to provide medical support, but I do believe in this situation as much as I would wish it was different.
How about assurances for these unusual occurrences?
Yes. Yes, I would like some of those. Anything we've been able to compile so far, I want in action. And as much as I wish it wasn't so, I have a feeling in this case we're going to have to operate on a kill procedure. We don't have the right controlled environment to attempt a capture. Unless, of course, Khan or Richards can come up with a plan. But that's my professional recommendation.
Yeah, we have one in the team. We are Tottenham, Moss, Wilkinson, Burley. Burley has rubber rounds as well, in case we are meeting civilian resistance unarmed.
A likely occurrence, at least a nuisance or getting in the way. Seeing it sits in the apartment building, much like the one I grew up in, we're now storming. So, yes. Perhaps rubber rounds on backup for everyone. Good. Other things? Anything your research or investigation around this individual subject?
Francis looks a little strained, sweating slightly due to the heat, even though the fire is still not very nearby. At least not on the ground floor. Honestly, we're moving too quickly for me to be able to assess things anymore. I'm leaving this in your hands. You're the commandos.
This all happens before Ellis gets into the building while you're waiting. So, I believe someone mentioned something about some sort of sight blockage or hearing blockage or something like this. Some sort of preemptive measure that was discussed. I did not get the details. It's nothing we've used before.
And this is what me and Francis have been discussing with the... The ear protectors only letting through our internal radio comm and minimalizing outer interference.
Minimalizing outer interference, as in blocking out other sounds.
Yeah.
This will make it necessary for us to operate on hand signal command structure. Is everyone familiar with this?
Yes.
Good. He doesn't even ask, Paul. Good. The team is prepared for this type of situation. So, how thorough does the blockage need to be?
If we can establish radio channels still, like from the outside, make sure we're following what the other teams are doing, and if we need to pull them in, then that would be good.
Khan nods and looks around the team. Some of them fiddled with MP3 players. Others look a bit confused, helping each other with the radio as Ellis bursts in through the door. Sweat, energy, focus. She moves across the room with purpose. Her face flustered, dirty, leaves clinging to it. Maybe dirt on her hands. Sweat on the front of the shirt. How do you carry yourself and what do you say as you burst in? You see the teams forming up, two elevators.
I look for Paul and Francis and heads wherever they are. And I think I am calm and collected, but like with high energy. Report? What's the situation, Paul?
And then she's right there. And the prep can start for real.
We are deciding that since the building is being evacuated by civilians due to the fire, this would be the best time to go in. Make sure he doesn't disappear into the night.
Okay. Paul?
Yes?
Doyle is dead.
Yeah.
The wave that goes through the team is not really visible. It's more like the air tightens. And motions of preparation get rougher. Somebody drops a satchel on the ground, picks it up.
Let's bag this for him then. I am very contained and very focused on, like, let's do the work and feel stuff later.
Yeah. You need a rifle?
Yeah. Whatever you want to give me.
Yeah. Pick one up from the supply bag that we have there, and I hand it over to you.
Yeah, I take it. I do whatever you need to do to make it ready. Still super focused, just like in total work mode.
Yeah, and I hand you an extra clip.
Thank you.
These are incendiaries. See if you need to switch. Depending on how the situation unfolds.
Alright people, gather around. Last gear check, noise check. Check in last prep. Going up in two. The team shakes as one, checking the gear sounds. Securing personal items.
I also hand you a pair of ear defenders.
I think I say no thanks to them, actually. I have this feeling that I need to trust my vision or my senses. My incentive is to protect Paul and Francis, and if we meet any bad vampires, I'm going to put myself in front of them. That feels very much like my purpose now. If I'm going to be this monster, I will... Yeah.
How about the rest of the team? Would you put yourself in front for, say, Shirley?
Yeah. If there's going to be any use of being this, what I am, let's be of use. It's my general feeling. But I don't think I voice it. It's just a...
It doesn't really have to be voiced. Mm. Shirley passes by you and bumps a fist into your shoulder and looks deep into your eyes. Mm. How bad you had to see him go. Did he go well?
I'm not sure.
Fuck.
I was too late, I'm sorry. I should have been there.
Let's clean this shit for Doyle.
Yeah, let's.
Ear defenders in place. The team looks at them. They see Shirley takes out his MP3 player and puts it in. Presses a button and almost static white noise sound comes in hearing, and then he puts his earplugs in one ear and the ear defenders over the whole package. When he sees that you look at him, he says, "Yeah, black metal. Do I love that shit?"
You do what you have to do, man.
Awareness round down. Potential hazards are hidden perpetrators, booby traps, trip wires. Keep awareness at all time. Hand signal only until spoken commands are given, and then on subvocal channel, the throat mics only. Each officer's radio check. 16, 45, 19, 19. 2020 here. Good to go.
340 in.
Verify fully loaded weapons. Rounded chamber. Rules of engagement are as follows. When suspect, codename Landlord, is sighted on positive verification from Paul, lethal fire engaged. Otherwise, wait for command or fire non-lethal only.
I lean forward to Paul very quickly, just sort of whispering before I obviously then get the ear muffs on. One thing, Richards, one thing.
Sure.
Recall how, in the case of Javeria, you were so certain that she was dead from her fall, from her wounds, from her injuries. If possible, if we have the target down, hold the men back from completely and utterly annihilating the corpse. You might be able to salvage something, if you get my meaning.
Yeah. I just can't have them holding back before target is absolutely down.
Exactly. No, yes, don't hold back then. Just when it is confirmed down, don't, you know, explode the individual or something like that.
Yep. Yep. I'll be ready to hold fire.
Khan comes over to you and has a quickly, blurly printed schematic. Looking out. Okay, so we have two elevators and two stairwells. Paul, what do you think? It's east and west stairwell, east and west elevator. We're now by east.
Are the lifts still working, considering the fire?
Yes, power's still on.
We don't know at this point what floor the subject is on. We think penthouse, right?
Fire is on floor 7, spreading to 8. So there's 2 floors above that. Well, in that case, it's caught by the fire and the ceiling.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he can be on any floor.
Yeah.
If he has used this place for years, many, many, many years, someone must know where he is. Someone here must have had encounters with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've made sure that I printed these out and handed out. There's the blurry, enlarged photos of the suspect, as well as you can capture his face, printed out. Everyone has a copy.
I take it and I quickly do a scan to verify the features. And, they are quickly imprinted in my memory. Then I look over the floor plans as well that we've been assigned.
There seems to be 5-6 apartments on each floor. There's a connecting corridor between the two elevators. That's an open firing range. The stairwells are fairly tight, but you could go 2, maybe even 3 side by side up them. They twist. It's a spiral, circular staircase, and you can see about half a floor up before it's occluded. There is about a 3 feet wide stair shaft leading all the way up. So looking there, if you bend over outside over the stairs and look up, you can see the stairs spiraling up there. Not really good angle. It's quite steep, so you can't see much of each floor, but you see kind of see the ceiling up there. Yeah, you can spot smoke up there coming down.
What do you think, Ellis? Stairwells or lifts?
Stairwells.
Yep.
How do I feel about the fire?
It's far away. It's just a faint smell at this point.
Yeah.
There are other feelings that are much stronger, I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's take this guy.
Khan asks one last question. Full team or split team east-west? We have 2 stairwells. So we divide the team or go up full force?
Let's divide the team.
Good. I can take one team, you another.
Yep.
You go with Francis and Ellis.
Yep.
I take remains of my squad. I take Sean, Howard, and I take Birmingham.
Yeah, whoever's best with traps first.
Good. Brighton should be inbound. That means you have Tottenham and you have Chelsea on radio support. Your squad is numerically slightly weaker.
Right.
I believe you will more than make up for that in insight and wisdom. Come, team, get around. You huddle up. He just simply looks at you all. He stretches out his hands and touches the hands of the man next to them and almost subconsciously You all grab hands. See, the Brotherhood of all mankind has the highest order. Conquer your own mind and conquer the world. And then he looks to Paul.
We have each other in this. We've come this far. We're taking it to the next level now. We've had enough casualties in this war. Now is when we show that we can do this without losing a man. Without losing one more man.
Sing the praise.
For Doyle.
For Doyle. You're fucking right. Yeah. Shirley nods. Raises one hand and two fingers, pointing it 45 degrees up the stair, and the team moves as one body. You get to your stairs, and this place is stinks even worse. It's like this one is in the back of the building. It's darker. Several of the light armatures further up blink. The team moves fluidly up first floor. Then they start up the second. As you reach the platform, somewhere in the front of the formation, Alice, you can clearly hear a pulse-like booming of bass from one of the apartments. Whomever is in there has either not evacuated or left the boombox on.
Paul, I motion towards the door. There's someone in here.
Yeah, you motion it. There is someone in here. It's a simple sign.
I nod and I gather up the people with me and I go up to the door and nod for Alice to engage the door.
And that I do.
Moss moves up with the door buster in hand. Short, collapsed. He unlocks it and draws it out with a clank. Battering ram ready to go. He holds it out to you, Alice. There are two handles.
Yeah, I take it. I also wanna maybe burn some blood to get a bit stronger.
You don't think you will need it just to knock down a simple door with a battering ram?
Then I won't.
This will be. This is something you have exercised a long time ago, but it was a long time you put this into practice.
Yeah, but it feels fucking good to do something with force. So I do it. Good.
Moss helps swinging it back with you. And you drive it through. The door basically just shudders and is then relieved of its hinges and falls flat straight into the apartment. There's a scream, a man's shout, but it's high-pitched, surprised, in terror. The sound of glass crashing, something being turned over in their violent reaction. There's a child shouting also, somewhere, maybe bedroom. Wilkinson and Burley are already in covering angles. There's a quick glance from Wilkinson back as he holds up a flashbang grenade and a questioning eye towards Paul.
I'll take the lead and I go in first. And I shout, "Everybody get out! There's a fire in the building!"
You step out into what seems to be the living room. You step out into what seems to be the living room with adjacent kitchen. The strong smell of late night cooking for the family. The soft carpet, rugged sofas, an aquarium tipped over. A man, maybe 40s. He seems to be British Jamaican descent, trying to steady himself. He holds up his hands and screams something unarticulated about "Coppers, coppers, coppers!" And then you, Alice, you spot in the hallway a small kid is running for the door straight towards you, trying to dodge and weave between your legs.
I will try to fetch it. How old is the kid?
It looks like 10 or something, boy. Curly hair, bright eyes. Red shirt.
I will try to intercept it.
Give me a... Anya, how do you try to intercept them?
I think I just try. I just put out my free hand and just gonna, like, take him around his chest.
Yeah, go for dexterity and the brawling.
Three.
You got him. Quick as he is, he doesn't have much strength to push past you when you hold him. What? Who must be Dad? Gets up. He is reaching for something. Fucking coppers, you can't come into my home. You can't come into my home just bursting in like this. We're not going
anywhere.
Show
your hands.
We have
hold your hands
in
where I can see them.
Many times. He raises up his hands.
There's a fire in the building.
I know what this is. Part of your scheme evicting us all. We know this. We know what's down. Yeah, back off, Babylon. Move out of here, copper. There's no need to do this.
Where is the landlord?
Landlord?
As soon as I see that no person of the description is in here, I pull back a bit of my defender just to be able to hear what he says.
A stream of curses hits your eardrums as you take off the defenders. He is just as angry as he appeared to be.
Does he show his hands?
His kid is silent. Yes, he does. He puts his hands up, puts them on his head, gets down on his knees. You can't step on me like this. You step away.
All right.
You got nothing. I will take my family, keep them safe.
I gesture for the man to have a quick look through the place. We're not here for you. We're looking for the landlord.
Moss gazes back at you. Grandma's in the kitchen cooking.
The kid. I look at him and I say, look, there's a fire in this building, so you need to get out now. Can you do that for me? I still hold him, but not very hard.
Yeah. He looks at his dad. Dad just shakes his head. No, policewoman, no. No, no. Not from you. I walk my own pace. Okay? I will walk down.
Then I suggest you walk quickly, man, because it's
well,
a fire.
Well, I was going out anyway.
So get out.
Dad?
Get
Dad?
Out.
We just go out. Get something from the grocery, yeah? Dad reluctantly moves out, convinced by his own son.
I let him go when they move.
Francis has remained outside of the apartment at this point. He saw no reason to follow the others in, more concerned with keeping an eye on the hallways. Alert. He is not a fan of this sort of frontline work, if he's perfectly honest, but, well, he understands he needs to be there just in case there's a medical situation.
You think you hear something there? Over the din of the voices inside. A scraping sound from somewhere above. Like something heavy being dragged across concrete.
I look upwards. Would the layout of this building, would above me be a similar sort of corridor with apartments?
Yes.
I...
All out. Even Grandma is out now in the hallway. Yeah, she doesn't speak at all. Only looks down and with her stick navigates down after her son and grandson.
Has Moss and Wilkinson looked through the apartment? Just a quick...
Yeah, they come back and do the all clear sign.
Good, let's move up.
Up, double. They motion round, circular motions as with haste. And they're up one floor, then up another. You're on floor 3. When that scraping sound becomes intense, you hear it, Alice. The rest of you hardly notice it over the beating of your hearts. You've gotten the ear defenders down now. You can hardly hear anything. Not even your footsteps. It's a quiet ballet of moving bodies. But Alice hears it. Something heavy made of metal being dragged.
I make a motion with my hand to Paul. Something's up.
Yeah, I lift my ear defender just to listen for the sound.
Do you hear it? Scraping. Someone's hauling something up there.
What could that be?
I don't know. Let's find out.
And then? And the power cuts out. Not all at once, but floor by floor. The accumulators lose power. First go the lights, then go the lights on the buttons for the elevator. Power cut.
I mutter to myself and activate, well, the torches and lighting that I have on my person, at least.
Yeah. I expect the whole team will be lighting the torches as well.
Team lights up as if it were one. Going to a low light activation. Shirley secures his light on top of his assault rifle. One of the others holds it in with the cross wrists over his automatic pistol as he moves further up towards floor four.
Yeah. I motion him to hold back so that Ellis can take the lead now that she clearly hears the sound better. You on point, Ellis.
Roger, roger. I move towards the sound.
You move up towards the sound. It sounds like it's at least two floors above. And then... noise below. Voices, angry voices, crashing. Someone turning over something heavy and metal down there too. The smell of something burning down there.
Where is there?
Down, must be first bottom floor. Anna comes in low on the radio.
Some sort of disturbance or activity on the first floor. Looks like tenants are blocking off the stairs. They're from below. Unknown why. Also, the fire seems to be abating. Doesn't look like 8 is gonna catch full on fire. 7 is receding. No visual of any of the local cops that are up there. Nothing.
Get the local police in, make sure that obstruction, whatever it is, gets cleared. As the fire brigade must be coming in as well.
Yeah, they must be only minutes away now. But yeah, that looks like a... it looks like the fucking protesters. Yeah, there she is, that Donna Deva character or whatever it is. Yeah, they're blocking the stairs. This is Team Birmingham. Do we get confirmed? Target is swinging back. Target is swinging back towards the original position. He's coming around to you. We tried to catch him in the street corner, but he was already gone. He's swinging around, coming back to your position.
Fuck.
That's not of our focus now.
No, you're right. Okay, let's move up.
The team looks to Paul to confirm.
I nod.
Just as you start to move upwards, you see light, firelight, spilling out of one of the apartments. There's, as you turn around, there's a lady standing there with a wax candle in a brass holder. She has an old nightgown, must be the further side of the 50s. Old, maybe 80s. Plastic glasses in a suspension thread around her neck.
Hello there, gentlemen.
She says. Only you, Ellis, I think, hears it. But you all see it.
Ma'am, you need to move out of this building. There's a fire. Please evacuate. I say with my best...
No, there is a fire. This is a very fire-safe building. It's built with the best of asbestos. There's no fire that's gonna reach my little place. No, no.
Ma'am, I need you to clear out now. Can you do that for me?
I step up. Have you lived here long, ma'am?
Yes. Always. My mom before me. Yeah, Paul has been so nice to us. Not like...
Is he your landlord?
Yes, not like those new developers. Yes, Paul has always been good to us. Well, you sure you don't want to step in for a cuppa?
Thank you very much. That's very kind to offer. We will need to get in contact with the landlord now just to make sure that safety procedures are being followed.
Come in and have a cuppa. I think I have his number to his old landline lying around here somewhere.
What is this room number, madam?
He smokes them. He smokes them girly cigarettes, silk cuts. Yes, yes. But I seem to remember always the stings of them. He always hums, he does. Cute boy. Really cute boy.
I see. That's very nice to hear.
I can get him to you on the phone.
That is most kind of you to offer, but we need to meet him in person to make sure that he follows the regulation. I'm sure he does, though, because he's been keeping this going for so long.
Let me call him. He's been drinking tea with me every Tuesday the last half year. I can just call him down. He usually comes here very well mannered.
Can I somehow convince her to tell me what room number he is? Can I use my persuasion or anything... If she's just completely irresponsive.
Question is whether she remembers or not. Is she not telling you, or doesn't she actually remember?
Yeah, can I read that?
Yes, if you... how do you try to read her?
What are you not telling us, madam? This is a police business. It's very important. Lives are at stake.
You could take your insight and your charisma, the skill insight.
I start to look impatient.
As does Francis. He's thinking to himself, is this even a worthy road of inquiry?
Maybe we even share a look.
Yes.
Two. So,
come in here. Come in and have some tea. I have a kettle on. One moment, I'll bring cups out.
Paul. And then she scurries back, leaving the door ajar. I'm giving a slight view into a candlelit, musty apartment. And she shuffles off into the kitchen, to the depths of the apartment.
Paul, we need to go.
I have already put my earmuffs back on and I'm awaiting you to lead.
Okay. Then I will move towards that shuffling sound. I guess that's upwards?
Yes, upwards. You start moving out. And you're about to step up, Francis, behind the rest of the team. See her feel a little plod, plod, plod on your back. She's standing there with the cuppa.
Oh, shit.
And the kettle in hand, looking at you, the little lady. Reaches about breast height to you, looks up, a wide smile.
Sure, you don't want to wait.
You just see her lips moving. Nothing else. You can't hear what she's saying. So are you going to stop or just move on?
You'll see Francis sort of try and catch Paul's gaze and just do a hand signal like distraction. Possible distraction. We should move on. Forget the woman. Try my best to convey this in hand gestures. Probably failing.
Yeah, you don't think you even managed to catch Paul's eye as he moves up, or Paul?
Yeah. I think at this point, if she has the means of contacting him and letting him know that people are coming, then we'll need to move as fast as we can.
You continue moving up, but it's only one step before searing heat on your back. She's thrown the fucking kettle at you.
Ah!
Yeah. You have no chance of dodging, being caught flat-footed. It burns, more distracting than anything else. Two bruises. And you turn around, and there she is, still her mouth moving frantically, accusatory, still hearing nothing of her rambling. He takes the other copper and flings it at you.
I will attempt to dodge this second attack from this bloody old woman, and
Do we notice this?
You do. You definitely do. You hear the muffled shout, and then the half-whispered, half-forced.
There you will go. Don't you have any manners anymore, young man? Nobody has any manners anymore. You will just sit down. I'll bring him to you. Just bring him to you. Bring him to you. Bring him to you.
Okay, I haven't already gone up, so I can turn around.
You're halfway up, so you see this slightly from above.
And do you see that she hits Francis?
Yes, there's the kettle.
Yeah, then I turn around.
And you're back by the foot of the stairs in no time. What do you intend to do with her?
I need to check on Francis first, if he's okay. Are you okay?
I come close to your face so you can see me mouthing, fine, but get her down, secure her.
Yeah, then I will do that. I will, I don't know, put her on her, put on cuffs on her or something.
She might try as hard as she can to resist, but it's her muscles, even if fueled by strong will, are nothing against yours. You push her down, clack, clack. They're on. She's got bracelets.
Okay, she's down. Are you okay, Francis?
Yes, it's fine. I check myself, imagining that even though a searing kettle is rather unpleasant, if you're wearing body armor and police protection gear, it's probably not that just a bit of bruising, yes?
Yeah, it's a bit of bruising on the neck. This first-degree burns on the neck and side of the face. Nothing else. And then a loud fucking bang from maybe one, two stairs up. Bang, bang, boom, bang, boom, 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 boom. You don't have time to see the hand signals. Just a muffled shout as the two point men just leap out of the way as a rusty bathtub comes crashing down the stairs, head over heels, rolling towards you.
What the fuck?
Yes, they're pushing a fucking bathtub half full with water, just crashing down the stairs. So, first two, they try to jump out of the way. And that is Morris. Morris leaps over the side of the railing, comes crashing down one floor under you, managing to latch onto the railing, but is half hanging over the abyss, having saved himself out of the way. But Wilkinson is not as lucky. He disappears under the rusted bathtubs as it careens towards you, Paul. You just have a split second to react. Let it be enough. Let me see a wits plus some sort of combat awareness thing. Visually, in this case, more than...
Awareness?
Awareness, yes. And also for everyone else, wits plus awareness. I want to give it a two extra dice for... you, Francis, and Ellis, since you're further down the stairs and you have time to hear the banging and see others getting out of the way. So you have two extra dice, both of you. Wits plus awareness.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five.
Two.
Five. Alright, fives. You have time to react. What will you do?
Francis will just dive into a corner of the corridor if he can, and try and be out of the way, at least for the moment.
Yeah, that works. But it won't help anyone, but it will help you. So unless you miserably fail your athletics plus dexterity, you're out of the way.
I have weight of a feather. So yes. What I want to do is maybe jump. Can I jump over it and continue up?
It's almost instinctual, as if you empty your bones of marrow and weight. Yes, to float above it, get out of its way. Clamber, maybe, up the stairs, light as a feather. The speed with which your heart pumps that single stroke is blinding, and there's almost a slight crack, supersonic crack in the air as the blood pushes out and empties you of weight. So, Francis, do your dexterity plus athletics, and you, Ellis, do whatever your power tells you to do.
One success.
You can't get out of the way. Your leg is caught, and there's a smashing, blinding feeling. 5 bashing damage.
Is that reduced at all by the fact that I am wearing police protective gear?
Yes, you can reduce it by, let's say, it's ballistic Kevlar. Yeah, you can reduce it by 2 since it's impact damage. If it would have been another, it would have armor value 4. But let's also, we're not rolling dice for this, so 2 less. So 3 is smashing into you. 3 bashing damage.
Unfortunately, all I'll be able to do is withstand that as best I can, crying out in pain as it crushes against my leg. I feel I maybe narrowly avoid a break, but now...
The thing continues crashing down, otherwise it would have been lodged between the wall and the tub. Hey, look up, Paul. So, Paul, what do you do in that microsecond you have before metal and water hits you with the force of gravity?
I will try to move to the side. I will try to mimic what Wilkinson just did. Moss, right?
Yeah, Moss, who just chucked himself over the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try to mimic it. It's almost instinctual. You may reroll with the willpower using 1 extra die from the help that his warning, slight warning, has given. It's either that or be hit by it.
Right, so what would you like me to roll?
So re-roll the wits plus re-roll the wits plus awareness. Guided by his motion, you might have a larger degree of success.
That is 3 successes.
You have time. Not many options. The instinct is doing exactly what he did, so do you?
Yes.
Flung yourself over the side. Give me athletics plus dexterity.
That is 2 successes. 10 and a 9.
Half out of the way, the bathtub bangs into you with the force of about 300 pounds, rolling down 3 floors. Yeah, 2 bashing damage. You managed to avoid the worst, but now you're teetering on the brink. The metal and water crashing down past you. You just barely hold on to your balance. So, strength plus athletics to hold on to the railing. Not be catapulted into the hole, maybe 1-2 floors down. Doing a hard crash like Morris did. Strength plus athletics.
That's 2 more successes.
Not enough. Your grip loosens.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zaza, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org and Sirenscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, and David Hogbatty for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.